The case had been cold for almost 25 years when advanced DNA technology breathed new life into it. The suspect was nabbed, the arrest was celebrated, and the family began to find relief. But did they have the right man? This is the story of Richard Knapp, the strangler who was arrested and then freed. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. If you're a true crime fan, I imagine that you, like me, just absolutely love to see a cold case solved. But today's case is a little different because it was solved and then unsolved. On July 17, 1994, at 7:45 p.m., police in Vancouver, Washington, were summoned to the apartment of Audrey Annette Hayline Frazier by a 911 call from a neighbor. Her lifeless body was visible through a window. Born on April 24, 1968, in Aberdeen, South Dakota, she had lived in the Vancouver area for 15 years. She had been a soprano in the high school choir and was a student at Clark College. She was separated from her husband, Dennis, at the time of the murder. They found the 26-year-old strangled and assaulted that day in 1994, leaving her 5-year-old son without a mother. Authorities were able to collect some DNA from Audrey's body at the time that ultimately could be traced back to multiple sources. They talked to some persons of interest, but none of the suspects matched the DNA. Over the following years, more people were compared to the profile locally, and it was also sent to a national registry to check for hits. Still nothing. But in 2018, authorities contacted a Virginia company called Parabon Nanolabs, which provides genealogy services. They're the go-to for police forces working on cold cases, and they were able to develop a composite of what the suspect might have looked like then and would look like nearly 25 years later. Hair color, eye color, even freckles would be included in the so-called snapshot of the murderer. For about $6,800, they made this snapshot and added a genetic profile to one of the public databases. Immediately, they got hits on people who were closely related to the suspect and were able to narrow down a family tree. It was similar to the data that led to the takedown of the Golden State Killer in 2018. They made a list and waded through the potential matches based on things like age and location, and they narrowed it down to one suspect. And that was a really good suspect. Richard Eugene Knapp. The 57-year-old had lived in Clark County at the time of Audrey's murder, and to add to that, he'd once pleaded guilty and been convicted of assault of a sexual nature in 1986. His victim had been strangled, just like Audrey Frazier was. Apparently, Knapp and a roommate had been drinking at a party, and the woman offered to drive them home. He then kindly offered to walk her back to her apartment, but along the way, he assaulted her and strangled her to the point that she almost lost consciousness. The worst part is that her baby, who was only a year old, was with her through all of this. Knapp received 12 months in jail and was made to attend a rehab program for alcoholism. He only ever served 60 days of his sentence and also violated the rules of the program several times before eventually completing it. Knapp had actually given a DNA sample back then as part of the conviction, but no national database existed at the time. It was never uploaded to any database and was eventually destroyed for some reason. At the time of his recent arrest, Knapp was now living in Fairview, Oregon, just across the border from Vancouver. He was working in the area near the Portland airport. Detectives were on Knapp's trail for months, waiting to surreptitiously collect some DNA from him. They said he mostly just went to work and then went home, but they finally got their chance when he dropped a cigarette butt. See, that's what you get, litter bug. Just kidding, I'm not actually sure if he dropped it on the ground or in a trash can. But when they tested the cigarette, they found that it was a match for the DNA left in Audrey at the crime scene. Authorities stopped Knapp in his car one day and arrested him. In April 2019, police held a news conference to announce the findings. They weren't able to determine a motive because Knapp and Audrey didn't seem to have any reason to know each other. But what an amazing first step to bringing peace to a family whose questions had been weighing on them for decades. One of the detectives went to meet Audrey's son, who had been only 5 years old at the time of her murder, in person to tell him the amazing news. The family was understandably pained by the wound being reopened, but they were thankful to the detectives for continuing to work this case almost 25 years later. At his first appearance in court in May 2019, Knapp wore a smock meant to prevent him from hurting himself. I hadn't seen one of these before and just thought it was so Oregonian of him to show up to court in a puffy vest, but I'm dumb. His attorney said it was wrong of him to be shackled in court, especially while being photographed, that it would sway public opinion and the potential jury pool, so the judge ruled that he could forego the cuffs. Bail was set at $1 million. At the end of 2022, the now 60-year-old Richard Knapp was finally set to go to trial on first- and second-degree murder with sexual motivation charges. But an old suspect was given a new deposition that threw everything into upheaval. The suspect was Audrey's neighbor at the time of her murder at the Family Tree Apartments. And in what was apparently a drastic change of story, he admitted for the first time that the two were intimate on the night she died. It turns out his semen was one of the samples found in Audrey, and it was matched to him as far back as 2017. And yet he wasn't arrested like Knapp was. He was also the one to make the 911 call after Audrey's death, which either makes him look completely innocent or like one of those criminals who likes to insert himself into the investigation. It's unclear if he was ever even considered a suspect. There was also someone who's being called an eyewitness, who was only recently tracked down in Georgia and interviewed. The defense wouldn't share the allegedly critical information this witness shared, but the police said they were aware of him. They just never called him. Knapp's attorneys say the police failed to do their due diligence because they saw the DNA evidence as a silver bullet. One attorney said, "It's, in my mind, a constant reminder that law enforcement can't forgo good police work because they have a new toy or a new theory." I'm not sure I would call DNA testing a new toy, but I mean, yes, you never want police to get hung up on one suspect. Knapp said that he was a bit of a playboy back in the day and had numerous relationships with numerous women. He was also into drugs and alcohol at the time. And he said that, sure, he used to go to the same bars Audrey did, but none of this proved he'd done anything wrong, even the DNA. It proved he was there, sure, but on the night of the murder, not necessarily. Knapp's attorneys believe the Vancouver police ultimately had good intentions, they just failed to see past their blinders. Prosecutors felt like reasonable doubt had been introduced and that it was their ethical duty to dismiss the case. On November 30th, 2022, after 1,312 days, Knapp was released from Clark County Jail, where he was being held. However, his case was dismissed without prejudice, meaning he could be brought back in if further evidence points his way. Knapp has maintained his innocence all along. In a sad turn of events, his wife died in June 2021 while he was in jail, maybe wrongfully. The deputy prosecuting attorney said, "We know that we either released a killer from jail or we released an innocent person who was wrongly held for 3 years. We know that one of those things happened, and that is not an easy decision to make." Knapp's lawyer says he's overwhelmed by the outcome. I can't imagine how difficult this has been on Audrey's family, who thought they might never see any resolution to this case in their lifetimes. To have to see it solved and then unsolved has to be more painful than I can imagine. The family has said, "This crime not only took away a sister from her two brothers, it left a mother and a father without a daughter and a young child without a mother. Since then, the family has grown with nephews that will never meet their aunt and a grandchild that can only see grandma in pictures, only knowing her from shared memories." But I also have to commend the prosecutors for being willing to allow more time to collect evidence rather than potentially convict what could be an innocent man. In the meantime, I'd love to know what you think. Is Knapp's past strangling conviction too much of a coincidence to ignore? Or did the police get too comfortable too quickly? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.